I have had clients who have, you know, have seen me multiple times, and I have noticed that the more they see me, it's almost like the more that their records are willing to go a little bit further next time. It's almost like, okay, so what has been integrated, they're now ready to hear more of the why and more of the truth behind it. But when they first came to see you, they just were not in a strong enough place to handle the information if we basically just dumped it all on them in that one moment.
Hello and welcome to It's a Journey podcast. How are you healing today? Your host, Stephanie Naidu, welcomes guests from different parts of the globe with professional expertise in health and holistic wellness. Holistic means physical, emotional, social, and spiritual well-being. So what do all of our guests have in common? It's their dedication to help us with our healing journey and personal development. Let's dive into this new episode with our special guest and explore the answers in order to continue our personal journey's exploration towards healing and self-love.
Chidi Eze is a multi-hyphenate creator that plays in the physical of fixing while mastering herself in the spiritual world through alchemy. A certified practitioner of transformative modalities, Chidi was given the menacing name Chup Chotonol Iukatol, translating to Woman of Precious Light of Sky, transmuting her past lives by reliving moments in the present timeline. She currently resides in France, expanding her work through experiential collaborations of the heart and soul, feeding her fervor for all things Venusian and exploring the zenith points of her natal chart. In this 24th episode of It's a Journey, we dive beyond time with Akashic Records practitioner Chidi Eze, exploring how tapping into your own inner divination can unlock profound healing and timeless wisdom. Welcome to my 24th episode, Beyond Time, Healing with the Akashic Records.
Hi, Chidi. It's such an honor to have you on my podcast. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Lovely. So we're going to start this podcast, which is today. We're going to talk about Beyond Time, Healing with the Akashic Records. And I would like to start with you, Chidi. Please tell us about your journey and how you became Akashic Records teacher.
Yeah, so my journey in general is quite lengthy. So I will begin with my call to the Akashic Records and how that even came about. So I moved to Barcelona after a birthday trip because I felt such a huge call. I was there for 12 hours. My spirit did not want to leave that place. And I am someone that if I go to a place and I love it, I will forget the life that I had yesterday and just start new there. But something was like, you know what, Tilly, have intention and have care with how you move to Barcelona. So I gave my notice when I returned from my trip. I started seeing a life coach. I started seeing a healer before I even moved, because I felt like there was an orb in my throat and I didn't understand. Like, doctors were like, there's nothing in your throat, Tilly. It's like a phantom disease. And working with the healer, she was like, it's your throat chakra. It's completely blocked, but it's almost itching for you to reactivate it or ignite it again. So when I finally got to Barcelona, one of the things was I was questioning the relationship that I had. Why was I always in the same cycle, but with different people? Like, I didn't understand what the relationship with my mom or my sister, or my best friend. I had all these questions that I just needed answers to. And I knew they had to do with my past life. I knew I had experienced it before because they continued to show up in different capacities, in different environments or atmospheres, the same problem, just with different energies. And so while I was in Barcelona, I had a friend that I actually went to high school with, and we reconnected. And I was telling her about my journey and like what brought me here.
or what convinced me to come. And she was like, you know, it sounds interesting because it sounds like something the Akashic Records could answer. And at this point, I was like, tell me everything. I want to know everything about every modality. And she was like, when I was in Venezuela, I had someone read my Akashic Records, and she gave me this information about relationships that I had with my own family members, which helped me understand my purpose and why I'm here and why I'm married to who I'm married to. And so when I went home, I started Googling like Akashic Records, trying to find out any information I could find out about it. But the unfortunate thing was that the information was just so obscure. There was nothing that really gave me a direct answer or provided me what I needed to know. There were some websites that were saying, if you want to open your Akashic Records, but I was like, what is the Akashic Records? Like, what am I even opening up? What am I diving into? And so at that moment, I was like, you know what? When it's meant for me to know more about it, for me to actually delve into it, it'll come. I always know, like, things happen for me in threes when it comes for information. It's like I hear about something one time and I was like, okay, that's for me to just know. The next time it happens, I'm like, okay, I should probably do some more research. And the third time it happens is when I'm actually meant to like work with it. And so I left Barcelona, moved to California, started working with an individual, and we had this agreement that because I was going to spend half my time in Spain and he was living half time in Europe, it like worked that we'll be in California when I'm in California. And then in Spain, I would just like help him out with his personal life. So there was a month, it was actually March of 2020. End of February 2020, I was meant to go to Barcelona for the month of March. And because there was a project that I had to complete, I changed my trip to LA. So I was going to be in LA for a month. I was going to continue working, do what I was doing. The second day I was in LA, I was in a car accident. And then that same week I had dinner with a friend and we were walking past this place called The Den. It's like a popular meditation place in LA. And we went inside. She's like, I think you'll love this place. It's like your vibe completely. They have all these different services. And I look on the list of services and it says Akashic Records. And I was like, oh my God, I am going to book a session. I booked the session. We were meant to have it that Friday. The next day we were put into lockdown. So everything was completely shut down. They emailed to reschedule and they're like, we'll let you know in 2 weeks when things open up again. As we all know, it wasn't 2 weeks that things opened up again. And so I wound up not actually getting my records read until I believe it was May of 2020, because they kept pushing back the timeline of things opening. And they said that, you know, the Akashic Records, we prefer to have it done in person in the studio. And so I just waited. I mean, at that time I was taking an intensive astrology course. I was, you know, working on my own treatment from the car accident. So I was like, you know, I'm kind of in no rush, but I also was at a point in my own journey that I knew anything that was delayed, it was for my own good. It was for my higher self. So I was like, it'll happen when it's meant to happen. I'm not going to force this. So when I finally had my session, it's still recorded and I listened to it on occasion because it changed me in a way because it shifted all my perspectives. It answered the questions that I had about cycles that I couldn't get out of. It answered questions about people in my life that I was questioning. I'm a hopeless romantic. And sometimes people will be shocked when they hear that about me, but I love love so much. And the Akashic Records is unconditional love. And it shifted my perspective about giving and receiving love and understanding how, you know, just because someone has feelings for you and you don't have feelings for them, do not feel a certain way that like, oh, I have to avoid them. Oh, you know, like I have to end this friendship. Understand the power that it is to be loved, to be desired, and allow that, you know, to not necessarily feed your ego, but to feed your soul. And to also understand that there will be people in your life that you will love in that same capacity and will not love you back. And that's okay. So at the end of our session, he was like, also, your guides want to tell you that you should be doing this. And that's a message that I have received from all the practitioners I've worked with. They've always been, Tilly, you're meant to be on the teaching end, on like the guiding end. You stop being this student who's looking for all these answers. You are meant to be the one who provides answers and understanding for other people. And I, hearing it from him during my Akashic, during that session, I don't know, it shifted something. It made me see that like, okay, let me release my ego and let me release whatever fear I have about being an actual practitioner and a guide for other people. So the moment we got the call, I went online. I was like, okay, when are they doing a session? And they were actually doing a session that weekend. And I didn't sign up for that one because I knew that I was in such a raw place after just having my records read that I did not have the wherewithal to go through a class and go through an attunement. I knew that it would be very, very heavy for me. And so I saw that they had they were teaching it again in October. And I was like, let me sign up now for the October one. And then I was like, but what will I do for the summer? Like, I have to be doing something else. I have to like learn something. And in that time, I was like, well, I'm just going to sign up for Reiki one and see if I even like, you know, what I like about it, what I don't like about it. And I'm very happy that I did it that way because Reiki brought everything together for me and it created such a foundational place that when I started my Akashic Records learning, it everything just made so much sense. And that's where it began. And I knew from my first, from Akashic Records one, the beginner, I knew that I wanted to teach it. Hmm. So that's my journey with it.
it's excellent. It's very interesting. I like the thing about the series of three. You know, when it comes in three, it's very interesting. Although you need, you know, awareness for that. Mm-hmm. And there are a few points here in your answer that helps with the question that I'm going to answer you later. So there are things we're going to go back to. So, and Tolly, when you say that, I search on internet at Google, I did the same. And also... And also like where you say like, I need, you know, like you need to pause, you need a time when you have, once you have your records read to you, you need to pause. I had exactly the same thing happen when you did it for me. I was like, okay, I need to pause. Mm-hmm. And I went back to the recording and I listened to it again. So definitely we need to have space, you know?
Yeah, so it's very absolutely. It's very important that I think that people, they can take what is provided to them and they run with it. And it's like, there's an integration process that you have to go through, you know? So yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. You wrote on your website about the Akashic Records and mm-hmm. you said it's our past, present, future, across mm-hmm. all lifetimes and realms. Mm-hmm. Can you explain more about what the Akashic Records are, especially for the people who are new to the concept?
Yeah, so I'll explain it to you the way I explain it in my sessions. So the Akashic Records, everyone has one. It's your records, past, present, future, across all lifetimes and all realms. And it's important to know that the past, present, future. So it deals with like your own, like your current past, but as well as your past lives. So it's almost like your library of all the lives that you've ever had. The thing about, I also mentioned the future, because a lot of the actions that we take currently, they will affect our future, but they will also affect our future lives that we are not yet living. So for instance, like if someone feels as if, I don't know, I have this habit and I can't stop doing it, and I feel touched in my past life, or I have this fear of water, but I was on the swim team. So we'll use the Akashic records. We'll ask them about that. And sometimes people, you know, you may have been drowned in a past life. So that fear of water is still with you, but you can't really explain it. So it's like this way of understanding it, shifting it, transforming it. So in your future life, your current future, as well as your future, it'll be something that is no longer a fear. It's almost like clearing karmic debt, but I wouldn't compare it to clearing karmic debt, but it's similar to it in the sense of clearing things that you're actually meant to clear in this lifetime. In the Akashic records, it's something that you can ask about other people. You can ask. So I mentioned earlier about, I wanted to heal certain relationships, and you can call in people into your Akashic records, but I cannot open those people's records without their permission. And it's very important. I want to be very clear on this. I do the Akashic records in a way that, like, I will do video or I'll do in person. I've done it on the phone before, but I don't actually like doing it on the phone because I don't know if there's someone else in the room with you and their energy can actually pull into the records and open it up. It's also important that if you ever have your records read, that the person, you grant that person permission to open your records. So it's because, again, it is, I'm just the channel that provides the answers, but you are the one who is allowing me to basically open up your vessel to see the, you know, the lightest and the darkest parts of your soul. The Akashic records, they're also subsets of it. So there's a portion where people just ask questions for clarity, for understanding, to shift perspectives. But there are four other portions or subsets that I don't do when I'm doing the question part. There's something called cohesion. There's ancestral healing. There's past life regression. And there is channeling. Channeling is, you know, someone who has a loved one that has passed on and they, you know, they feel as though they ended in a not amicable way. And they want to either say they're sorry. They want to see how the person's doing. So I would channel that passed on person. Ancestral healing is just, it's literally that you, there's something in your ancestral lineage that you want to heal so that it doesn't, it's no longer stuck to you in this current life, but it also heals your lineage for the future. Cohesion is, someone would come to me and say, oh, I can't stop smoking, but I also, like, I've tried so many things. Cohesion is where we will basically split yourself in two. And there's a part of you that does not want to quit smoking. And there's the other part of you that wants to quit smoking. So we'll do this work where we basically go back and forth. It's actually you doing it. I'll be asking questions, but it's almost like you open up your own records with me and we'll go back and forth until you get to a point of either you're so okay with not giving up this habit. You're like, it's just a part of who I am and I'm okay with it. And you no longer have this urge to stop smoking. It's like, this is who I am. That's what it is. And then there's the other part of you that you're kind of like, you know what? I'm happy. I'm done with smoking. I'm good with this. So a lot of times people will use that for habits. And then past life regression is, you know, doing a past life regression. I don't do that often in the Akashic records just because I can do it in a shamanic way. And the shamanic way actually allows you to do the journey yourself. So that is, So the Akashic records is, it's almost like having a portal to answering every single question in your life that you feel as though is a blockade or barrier from you achieving your highest dreams or your purpose. And the only two questions I do not answer, I'm very clear about this, is when will I die and who I was to you in a past lifetime. There are other practitioners who may answer that. I just choose not to.
Okay, perfect. So we have a little bit more clarity about Akashic Records. And you start talking about the questions we can ask, which also something I wanted to ask you, you know, what are the areas they can explore through the Akashic Records? And for example, you talked about, you know, healing. Can it help someone healing, overcoming past traumas? Or for example, can it break an unhealthy pattern of toxic relationship? You talk about relationship, any blockage and things like that? How does it work? Like what are the areas we can bring to you?
Yeah. So you can literally anything. You can bring anything to me. So for instance, like the one thing that I want to be clear on is that the Akashic Records, it will not clear the block. It'll show you or provide you all the ways for you to clear that block for yourself. It's very important for people to know that, one, they have their own divination within them, but they also have the power to alchemize the things that are happening in their current life. So it'll just provide you the tools. Like it'll like, for instance, with relationships, it'll shift their perspective so you're able to understand where that other person's coming from. So a lot of times when we have, I'll use mothers for example, I think many people can say, many people can say that I have a difficult issue with my mom, you know? Yeah. And the thing about it is that it's important for us to remember that just like us, our mothers are human. They did wild things when they were young, they made mistakes, and at some point they had us. And so it is for our own benefit to see our mothers as other human beings, or even see them like, okay, so what if this was your friend who was going through this? Would you respond in the same way you respond to your friend, or would you have compassion and grace because they are your friend? Why is it difficult for you to have that same compassion and grace for your mother? Or like, okay, this person, you know, someone's mother is very toxic or abusive. Okay, so if your friend was very toxic or abusive, or was dealing with the same relationship with someone in their life who was toxic or abusive, wouldn't you be the support to be like, you know what, you need to get out of here. Like, I'm going to assist you in getting out of there. So how can you assist yourself to be like, you know what, this is someone who has given me life. This is someone who has supported me in the way they know how to support me. And remember, this person also has their own fears and anxieties and shames that they're holding onto, but because they are your mother, they are not showing you these things because they're meant to be the best example for you. It just shifts, not even the blame, but it shifts the understanding, but also shifts how we are dealing with it, how an individual deals with like a crappy boss or horrible work environment. The option is to leave. The option is to give space, or to, you know, sometimes let's say whenever someone calls you and you always know this person's always going to ask for something. You don't have to answer. You know, you don't have to continue putting yourself in those positions to be the victim. At some point you can be like, oh, I don't want to be the victim anymore. So it's more so it like one gives you the strength. It's very clear because certain things come through in a way that the only person who would know that would be you. But it also allows you to take back your own power. Not to say that everyone after a session, they're going to be like, I'm going to do all of this. Again, we have free will, and some people just aren't in a place where they are emotionally sound enough to make such drastic decisions or to cut people off or cut jobs off or cut or release things that they know are not a benefit to them and their spirit.
And sometimes because we ask so many questions during the session, there is some areas where we're going to make progress, where there's going to bring some light on, and other areas where, okay, it's taking a little bit more time to really understand what's behind, right?
Yes.
So there are many things we talk about, you know, with these questions. And sometimes we also have like these special messages about our guides. Mm-hmm. Who pass also these messages for, you know, more clarity or something, bringing some light on one topic, something we need to be aware of.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, can you walk us through the process of accessing the Akashic records from you?
Okay.
And how do you prepare yourself before accessing someone's records? You know, my other question is, how do you ensure that you are interpreting the information accurately? So this is a little bit more from, you know, your perspective from a practitioner.
Okay. Yeah. So let me begin with the first one. So the way I access the Akashic Records, there's an Akashic Records opening prayer. Mm-hmm. So when I was just in, I did beginner and advanced, the way I would access them was my teacher provided us an opening prayer. But once I became a teacher, one of the last classes is that you work with your own Akashic Records to create your own new opening prayer. And that prayer, when you teach your students, is a prayer that they'll be using to open their clients' records until they become a teacher themselves. So there's a prayer that I use. There are certain words that I say that, and they're very specific to the individual. And then I say part of it out loud. And then there's a portion where I say it inside. And then the last portion, I say it out loud again. So that's how I open them. It's also very important for me to always close out someone's records. So before I end a session, I will, you know, have them mute again and I will close out their records. And so there's an opening prayer and then a closing prayer. Do you mind the other?
That's completely fine. So how do you prepare yourself before accessing someone's record? Because
it is
private.
So exactly. So I always give myself like half an hour to silence my mind, to just like really clear the energy around me. So I won't watch any television. I won't use my phone. I won't have anything that has potential to disturb my own like balance, because I know that it's very important for me to be completely clear when I go into a session with someone, because it's solely about them. And I don't want anything around me before that time to obscure what the session can be about. Let's say if I like watch something very, very intense, and then I immediately go to opening someone's records, like there hasn't been that transition time of settling myself and then working with someone. Things are very quiet. I don't necessarily have any sort of sound. Sometimes if it's like a sunny day that like today, I'll go outside and sit under the sun and just, cause I use the sun as a way of cleansing. So I'll just allow the sun to like cleanse me and to like release whatever obstacles that I have endured for that day, so that I'm basically completely fresh for that person. I silence my phone. The area that I have the session, it is just completely like clear. Sometimes I'll feel called to bring a certain crystal with me before the session begins, and I'll just have like there's one that I have is called a healer stone. It's a healer's palm stone, which is just, I believe it's gold quartz. Other times there's another stone that I use that is actually specific for the Akashic records. And if I'll like go to my crystals and I'll sort of like put my hands over it, and whichever stone calls to me. I even use like different colors when I'm writing during the records, because one of the ways for the information to come through clearly is that I'll have to like write things down. Or if someone asks me a question of like, what should I do about this? Sometimes I'll go silent and I have to like write down what their guides are saying, and then I'll read what was written down. And even with that, like, I'll want to use pink, but they're like, no, 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 you have to use blue for this person. I don't know why, but it's like, it's very, very specific to just the energy that I feel that I'm called to. And then the ending part of how I know the information is not like me versus their guides. So that in itself is, there's something called clairs. It's basically how people who use divination receive information. And when you learn Akashic Records, there's a part where that we go through like this, not, I wouldn't call it testing, but we go through this series where we see what our clairs are. Like, our teacher will say something and it'll be like, how did that information come through for you? So there's clairvoyance, which is clear seeing, like vision. There's claircognizance, which is clear knowing. There's clairsentience, which is clear feeling. There's clairaudience, which is clear hearing. Like, sometimes you'll hear it. And then there are two other clairs that aren't necessarily very popular, but you know, they do come through for me. And one's called clairalience, which is, clear smelling, like you'll smell it. And then there's clairgustance, which is clear tasting. And clairalience and clairgustance are my least favorite clairs, because I'm very sensitive to like taste and smell. And so when I get like really, like, there's once, I've never been pregnant, but before a session once, I was like, oh, what is this? And I was like, is this what morning sickness tastes like? It's disgusting. And I didn't even know why like this was happening. And then I got into this session and I was like, oh, now it makes sense, because we're talking about morning sickness and what she was going through. And I was like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted. But it was important for me to have that information, so I understood more about the session and what was happening. So a lot of times, another way is that, like, because the Akashic Records is unconditional love and it's purely no judgment, there are questions that I have been asked that if I were outside the records, you'd get a very different response. It would not be nice at all. But in the records, it's just, it's so angelic. It's almost like you were, you don't have, like, my own personal judgment is not there. It's a very different response of just like, I see you, I know what you're going through. You know, people always say this, we're just spiritual beings having a human experience. And like, it's just pure love. So the way I respond is in a way that like outside me would not respond. So that's how I always know it's not from me at all. So yeah,
it's so interesting, like the fact that there are things that you can feel and gives you more empathy when you're gonna give the message. You know, if you can, you know, feel really in your body, it's, you know, of course it's different than just like, okay, hearing something and just repeating. It's way more than being just a translator or interpreter.
You know? No. And for sure. And I will say about like you know, the feeling part, you know, a lot of times people would come and some of their questions will be like, I have very bad anxiety, or I have stage fright, or I have this. And, you know, I think that there is a lack of understanding sometimes in the outside world where they're like, oh, just get over it. Like, you know, like, just imagine everyone, the audience naked. But then in the Akashic Records, when the person asks about the stage fright and you feel this crippling feeling, you're kind of like, oh my God, you can't have anything else but like care for that person, because you're like, because I'm feeling what you would typically feel when you're going through stage fright, I get it. I get why you're afraid of being seen. I get why you're afraid of speaking in front of other people, and why it's just not a thing of like, well, it's your job, just do it. It's like, it's something deeper. So yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it's fascinating. The other thing that I want to mention, Tilly, is that you share with me that once you have closed the session, you do not remember anything that you said. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like it stays a secret. Like,
absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are certain moments or like things that when I close the record, I'll hear like a certain name, or I will like see like a very quick image of something that I just saw in someone's records from like months ago. And I will, in my own record, I ask my guides, why do I see that? Like, I close the records, it's completely gone. They're like, that little snippet, it's going to make sense for you later on. And even when I try, I'm like, okay, well, does that mean I still have access to their records? When I try to go back and remember what was said, I get a horrible migraine. It's like, you don't need to know anything else. You just need to remember that name. That's it. So yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So during our session, I'm keeping the topic on, like, you know, the session with your clients and the session you had with me. There was a couple of time when you asked me a question or sought clarity before sharing the message from the record. So, for example, you asked me how my divorce impacted me. And then after that, you went on with the questions, but you were looking for something, you know, you were checking. So yeah. How do you handle situation where the records reveal some information that may be difficult or painful for the client to hear?
Yeah. So one of the powerful things about the records is that, again, because it is that person's records, the records will know how much that person is currently able to hear and handle in that moment. So that's why I know that, like, whatever their guides are telling me or how it's coming through, I know that is something that they're able to receive in that moment. And I have had clients who have, you know, have seen me multiple times, and I have noticed that the more they see me, it's almost like the more that their records are willing to go a little bit further next time. It's almost like, okay, so what has been integrated, they're now ready to hear more of the why and more of the truth behind it. But when they first came to see you, they just were not in a strong enough place to handle the information if we basically just dumped it all on them in that one moment. So yeah, it's like, I can't remember anything, but if I asked about the divorce, it was something that, like, they may have shown me something, but I personally was like, can I ask that? And the guys are like, yeah, you need to ask her about this, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And just now you mentioned, so that's with that client. So this client comes back to you and asks you, so I'm guessing with another set of questions, or maybe she's making also progress, you know, in our life. So then your clients come back to you, can consult with you again multiple times to open the records. Then you share, you know, another reading with them, right?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Do they do that? Like, is there, like, for example, like, I'm not going to say a ritual, but something like, for example, of like once in a year or not at all. It's really like, it depends on the person and maybe your work that you do with them.
Yeah. So it depends on the person for sure. Some people will come for an Akashic record session and then next time they'll want Reiki. And then next time they're like, okay, I'm ready for something shamanic, you know? Other times, and I will be clear that I do not think you should be coming to me once a month for Akashic records reading. Like, I feel the one session provides you so much information that it would be lasting you months. I've had people who have come just once and it was enough for them, you know, but there are others who need further support, and how that support, comes through can be many different ways, or they'll come for Akashic records and they want to ask all these questions, and I will offer, like, how about we try something else, but we'll do it in your Akashic records. So it's more of healing the past, healing your current state, but also healing it so that you clear up what is meant for you in your future.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah, got it. Now let's talk about your weekly connection on Spotify. I really enjoy listening to it because you share a message from the Akasha and other modalities for spiritual guidance and support. It's very fresh. It's very informative. It's also very intimate, as it's another opportunity to know you. And I think I really like this moment where I thought you were just talking to me. Like, when I listen to it, it's very friendly, and I really liked it. And during one of your latest episodes, you did Reiki with the Akashic Records, which is something very special that you do not do, you know, all the time. You do it with your clients. Give us a little bit more details about your show.
Yeah, so Weekly Connection actually, it came about because I used to get such intense downloads during new and full moon cycles. Oh. So I would get the downloads and I would, like, type them up and just post them on Instagram. The thing about it was that people would relate to it, and then they would come to my DMs with their birth chart and be like, okay, my Libra's in this, or my Aquarius in this, or this is what's happening. And I was like, you know, you guys can just book a session. But then I realized, oh, you're providing them with some information, but it's information that necessarily answers it specifically for them. So it came about so people could sort of stop DMing me. but it also became this way that, like, it's very important for me to provide as much information as I can, because I do know that it's a privilege to be able to find someone and afford a session. I do know a lot of people cannot afford it, or it's just not in their budget right now. And so the Weekly Connection is one of those things where sometimes I'll do, like, what are the messages for the new moon in Gemini based off your Venus placements? And I do that specifically because in esoteric astrology, Gemini is ruled by Venus. And so, one, I'm providing information so you can so you learn a bit about astrology. But then I go into the records and I will go through each Venus placement. So you go to your birth chart, you'll find your Venus placement, and then that information is for you. It's almost like a little guide to get you through that new and full moon cycle. And so it's the podcast has now become something that, yes, it was about, like, getting on my DMs, but now it's a way for people to almost get, like, a free session for that new or full moon cycle. because I know there are many people or many other practitioners out there who will give like a little sample of something, but the individual still has so many questions. But then if they're kind of like, you have to book a session, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. And it's like, that's kind of unfair. It's almost like saying the people who are able to, or more deserving of having access to this. And people who at this moment do not have, oh, well, figure it out on your own. And so for me, it's more of like, all right, if you can't afford it, this information is for you. You can go back and listen to other podcasts. There's like, I do power songs. I think I once did a shamanic journey. I've done Reiki. So whenever you need like certain healing, so I keep them up there and I have them for individuals who can't afford it right now, or just don't have disposable income to do it, as well as people who want to learn more. They want, you know, people are always going to have questions about what are the Akashic Records. And the more that they listen to it, they're kind of like, oh, I get it now. I see she, in each episode, I sort of explain like how the records work in some way. And so they're like, oh, I can ask these questions, or, oh, I can do this. And I also want to be very clear. People can send me in questions if they want me to answer them on my podcast for them. And I've mentioned that in a few podcasts of like, if you have questions, please feel free to send them to me. And in the next episode, or possibly the episode after that, I'll answer them. So it is, they'll also, you know, they'll hear the question. They'll be like, oh, that's my question. There's almost like a little bit of personalization that's possible on the podcast as well.
Yeah. So. And I think, I mean, for me, like I work with different, you know, on my healing journey, I work with various practitioners. And mm-hmm. I know that sometimes I didn't know exactly, first of all, I didn't have any knowledge on one specific modality. I didn't know which modality was right for me at that moment. And I also mm-hmm. wanted to make sure that I could trust, or it could be a good fit for me, like, you know, a practitioner, yeah. specific practitioner. So I think the weekly connection, I think it was also a way to see like, okay, let me, because sometimes we are shy to ask questions, or we are shy to be like, oh, I don't know what is that Akashic Records, you know? So it's like, okay, let me put my toe into the water and then see how it feels, yeah. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I that's why I think it's very valuable. And again, I feel that, you know, for some practitioners are different, choose different media, different channel. And mm-hmm. I feel that your podcast is very intimate. So now I know the story behind, and I understand why it feels this way, you know? So yeah. I think it's great. So thank you so much for that. Keep going, keep doing. So my question is about, because, okay, we, from like a, you know, astrological point of view, we are entering, or some astrologers say we already enter the era of Aquarius. Mm. And during this time, we often talk about the collective consciousness. So have you ever accessed any information about any major global events or period of time through the Akashic Records? And my second question here is that, have you noticed patterns or themes that constantly arise in the records for clients during this time of history? And if so, do you think it indicates something about our collective consciousness?
Yeah.
That's a big question.
That is, yeah. So I'll actually begin with the last question first.
Yeah.
Because I think, so one of the things is that a lot of times people, the one pattern I've really been picking up on that I think is more, that it's more rampant now than even when I started doing the records, is that everyone wants to know what their purpose is, because the life that they're living right now, they are not happy. They feel as, and it's sometimes it can be very disheartening because they realize the person that they married isn't who they thought they were. You know, they're realizing my kids turned out the way they turned out because of me. Like I should have been more strict, or I should have been more lenient. I should have been, the relationship that I have with my family is, it's happening because of the things that I have turned a blind eye to, or things that ways that I've enabled. And now, you know, especially because, so I only take clients who are 18 and above. I do not do minors. So one of the things is that, like, you have people who are in their late 30s, 40s, 50s, who've already lived and had like a life that they thought would be life they would always have. And they're now like, oh my goodness, I have a law firm of 50 amazing lawyers. But without me, I would have to close things down. It would crumble. So there is like this back and forth of, I don't want to let these people down who have basically helped me build myself up. But I feel such a pull that I have to let this go. I have to like let these baby birds fly, and I have to go live out the life that I've always wanted to live. I've always known to be what I'm meant to be doing, but I've allowed my family, or I've let society tell me, oh, you have a great job, you should be happy. You have a hot partner, you're so lucky. You know, you have brilliant kids, like that's amazing. But no one really knows the ins and outs of what we've had to endure to keep up this persona. And so with it being an age of Aquarius, Aquarius is very much like, people look at them as like the aliens or the weird ones, but it's more that they are very authentic. They do not, their polarity is Leo. And so one of the reasons why they sort of like butt heads with Leo is that Leo is very much like, see me, look at me, I'm the sun. And Aquarius is like, duh, everyone's the sun. Like, why do you have to, you know, seek all this attention to be validated, to know your worth? Don't you already know that you're valuable? Don't you already know that, like, you are you because it is you and there's no one else like you? So why are you making a big show of it? And so in this time, it's this, people are really starting to feel this call of embodying authenticity. And that's very difficult for people who have always either been fake, or they've, you know, tried to keep up with the Joneses, or, you know, everything that they did it for the validation of people around them, or to be the cool kid or whatever. To release all of that now, it is to ask, what am I actually meant to be doing in this lifetime? And so that is one of the collective thing that I feel that people are really wondering and they're questioning. I want to be very clear that there are many people who have always been authentic, and there is going to be like a clash of the titans when it comes to the people who have always been authentic and the people who are now trying to discover their authenticity. It's almost like the people who have always been authentic are going to have a difficult time being patient or understanding for people who have made their name from being very fake. And now they're like, all right, I'm going to be my real self now. And they're like, okay, do you want a cookie? So it is going to be interesting. It will be interesting, I will say, but it also will be something that's humbling for both sides, where, you know, it'll teach those who are on their journey of authenticity and being their genuine selves of like, one of the things about authenticity is that not everyone will like you, and that's okay. And then the people who have always been authentic, it'll be this thing of like, all right, I can have grace and compassion for the person, but I don't have to be around them. So absolutely. And about receiving, if I've ever received information about major events or things like that, I wouldn't. So one, I never... I wouldn't say never. I don't typically ask the records about information about any sort of global events or major economic or political shifts that are happening, because again, it goes back to everyone has free will. There is, the records can tell me one thing based off of all the information that is that is out there right this moment. And then there can be someone who is in a very high place of political power. They could have an epiphany, like a come to Jesus moment. And the decision that they were going to make an hour from now, they have decided, I'm not doing this anymore. And that in itself will completely shift what the Akashic Records has told me. It's going back to, like, you know, also being future. There are many moving parts that if one change happens, it'll change what that future is going to be. So when I say it's the Akashic Records, past, present, future, it's also all possibilities. Mm. So like, what happens if one day, you know, all the wars in the world and the world stop? You know, it's like, oh crap, like what, like how will we actually move forward? And so it's not that I've ever received information about major events, but I have had sessions or moments where, like I mentioned earlier about, you know, sometimes the things I'll remember about someone else's record they will tell me, you need to know this information. We won't tell you why right now, but you will know when a time comes. Last summer, so summer 2023, I actually had a session with a client and it was in person. And they asked me about like investments or something. And they mentioned the word BlackRock. I knew very little about it, but when I closed out the records, they said, you need to remember this word, BlackRock. You need to remember this word, BlackRock, and remember investment. And I was like, whatever. So October comes around, and what the current genocide that is happening started. And I remember seeing the word BlackRock everywhere. And I was like, what? Hold on. What is this BlackRock thing? And there was a conversation about divesting from BlackRock. And then that's when, at one point, my guys were like, do you see now why the information that we had you provide to this person, we couldn't tell you the details behind why, but we told you the details of what to tell the person. Mm. And then months after that, I believe it was like November, December, I received a download from my guides, and they're like, you need to send a message to your client, and this is what it has to say, and leave it at that. And I did. And that was it. So it was like there, I would receive things about key players and something that will happen, but I don't know what it is that will happen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting. So, I mean, first this shift, this huge shift that you were saying at the beginning of your answer about authenticity. And I think it's because now, I mean, a lot of time before, we didn't have to think about that because we were supposed to play a role. I'm a woman. I'm supposed to be at home taking care of the children, you know, and that's it, you know. But because of this huge shift, I understand why you have like all these people coming and asking you about, you know, their true self or even what they are supposed to do in their life and all that. So it's very fascinating. And the other thing that I was also thinking is that it's interesting, and I think it's like something that, I mean, personally, I have to learn is that it's difficult. I was saying like my rising is Virgo, is that you cannot be in control of everything. There are things that you need to know at a certain point of time. Just accept it, listen to it, and then you will see, you know, later. And, you know, and so sometimes this part of like, it's okay if you do not understand everything, if you do not have all the answers at the moment, it's okay. Each thing comes at the right time. Okay, that's very good. Now I want to ask you about Is there something, is there a specific question that you have coming from your clients or even, people who are not familiar with the Akashic Records, something maybe that they have some false ideas about? Mm. Is there something that people ask you about that comes back often?
Oh, I don't think I've ever had a client that has not asked me, what is my purpose? That is the most common question. And the one thing about the Akashic Records is that the Akashic Records is not going to tell you your purpose, but it will tell you the things that you should be doing or you could be doing in your life for you to find your purpose. Because finding what your purpose is a journey. It's a self journey. You know, it's a journey of self discovery, self realization, and really understanding who you are. And so it's sort of, they're kind of like, that's too easy. If you come to us and ask, what is my purpose? So that means that you figure out what your purpose is and then you just quit your entire life around you. That in itself is going to be such a huge shock to your system that a lot of times someone will not be successful if they're not doing it in stages and steps, you know? So I think is the main question. I can't even think of anything else people really ask me, because aside from that question, it's like a mix. It can be about career. It can be if they're a parent, they have children. It can be, you know, if someone who's newly married. I would definitely say what is my purpose? And I think the next most popular question is someone's relationship with their mom. Yeah.
Really?
I'm not joking. I mean, across the board of genders, it's like that like my mom. Like, is my mom okay? Like, how do I deal with my mom?
Yeah. That's very interesting. But I see the positive side is that, because sometimes, you know, like there are like some, family history or trauma, mm-hmm. things that are passed through the mom. So it means that the more people are going to ask that question, the more healing, hopefully, we are doing and then changing the things for the next generation.
Exactly.
It's very interesting. Okay. All right. Super. Thank you so much. that was not expected. the last question that I ask for you, and you know, I always love to ask that question for people who are, listening to my podcast on a regular basis. I always ask this question to my guests because I think I always like have nice answers. I have lots of surprises, and I also think it's like, okay, kind of like I'm being very curious here. For you as a practitioner, what is your daily practice? So even if it doesn't have to be related to your modalities or, maybe, but what do you do as like maybe a ritual or something like that in morning, evening time, some things you like to do?
Yeah. So this, actually in January of this year, I started a new practice or a new ritual because I'm a practitioner of heartfulness meditation, but I also found that there were certain things that I wasn't necessarily receiving from it. And earlier this year, I started working with a somatic fitness coach, and she does fitness through a way of working with the chakras, but she also, I personally believe she specializes in with people who have experienced, sexual abuse, sexual assault, because the one thing that we can be doing all these healing modalities to like heal ourselves, but we forget that a lot of things are actually still stored in our body. And for me, I'll be vulnerable here of like, one of my things was that there was, I have this thing about being seen. I need to be in control of how I'm seen. And because of things that happened from my childhood and all, but also in adulthood, that I didn't realize I carried the shame of the abuse in my body, in the way I would show up, the way I would dress, the way I would allow myself to be around people, the way I would be in intimate spaces. I would very much like almost be a hermit. I would shy away from it because I immediately would think it would turn into abuse again. And so working with her has become this like practice of, I now work out because I know that I'm releasing all those things from my body. Like I know that like some workouts will be for the heart chakra to allow love in a very genuine, heartfelt way. Or we'll work on the solar plexus where it's like my action point of like, okay, what are the reasons behind why I don't want to go here, or why I don't want to ask for this, or why I don't want to take these steps, or why I'm so afraid of really achieving what I know I'm meant to achieve in this lifetime. And so it's been really cool because I actually did a class this morning before I call, because I feel my strongest. I played rugby in high school. And I, for a short time, I was on the crew team in college. I cannot swim, but I was on the crew team because I love the idea of like feeling my strongest and like being my strongest. And so with her, it has brought back like the strength that I had, I guess, released or left in those spaces of fear. And I've called it all back to myself. In August, was it August? Yeah, in August, I decided I wanted to start running. And so I started running. And it's before I see people who run, I'm like, oh my God, people are crazy. Like no one enjoys this. I loved it. You know what I mean? Yeah. For an entire month, I just like started running.
Yeah.
And it felt so good because I felt my mind was so clear. And when each time I do these workouts or when I connect with her, I just felt a new personal leveling up. So even when I work out, I don't do it because, oh, I want my body to look like this. And like, I want people to see me. I want to be able to go out into the world and see myself, because at this point, that's the most important thing in my life. If you don't see who you are, how can you expect other people to see who you are? It doesn't make sense. And so that is like a daily practice that I will either do one of her classes, or I will do some sort of like intense workout, like going, I love hiking. And so because I'm in Côte d'Azur right now, it's like something that there's so many different trails that are near water. So I have to like get out in nature, but I have to move my body with the intention of almost clearing things out, like a form of meditation for me. So that's a practice, and also a beauty thing. Because I'm getting older, when I was younger, I didn't really care. I don't say I didn't really care. I was like, oh, maintaining my beauty is easy. Like I didn't have all these steps in like, you know, washing my face and like all these different products. But now I have this thing where I love finding new beauty products. This summer I did like 90 days of like collagen, and I was like, oh my God, I feel the elasticity coming out. And it's something that like my daily ritual is somehow giving something back to myself. And it may seem mundane, or may seem like you should already be doing that. But because I have joy in doing these things, I'm happier to do them rather than like, oh, well, if I don't do this, I'm going to like gain 10 pounds. It's more of like, oh, if I don't do this, like my day won't be set, you know, like I won't be my happiest. I won't be my strongest. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. It's really, very nice what you share. Yeah. And you say it all when you say like, it gives me joy. Exactly. Yeah. I can totally feel it. That yeah, it gives you joy. Thank you so much, Tidi, for this wonderful time, for sharing so much about you, about what you do, and about, you know, how you can also help people, how the Akashic Records can be helpful for people to discover. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I loved it. I didn't know that I would, you know, get even more clarity from, like, I guess just answering your questions, but I feel as if, like, it's allowing me to let other people see me, you know what I mean? And so that feels great. So thank you so much for this.
Wonderful.
You can learn more about Tidi on Instagram at Tidi Eze and through our website, tidieze.com. If you didn't have time to write everything down, or if you have any doubts regarding the spelling, no worries. All the links are listed in the show notes. If you are curious about the Ojivati community, check out our website at ojivati.com. Thank you to all our listeners. Until next time, stay inspired on your path to healing, self-love, and embracing the power of your unique journey.
Thank you for listening and for taking time for yourself. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, share this episode with others on social media, or leave a rating and a review. To catch the latest from Ojivati, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter @Ojivati. Thanks again, and see you on the next episode.